The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, Fast Amai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Your chance to have your say, because we're an open line today through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email the studio directly at studio@maxradio.com or call 66 13 68. You're on. Did you respond, by the way, to that feedback request from the steam packet about the vessel that will replace Mananan? The fast craft, the high-speed catamaran, currently provides a seasonal service to Liverpool. You get to Liverpool in under 3 hours, but the steam packet says a like-for-like replacement isn't necessarily possible, might not happen, so crossings below 3 hours may not happen in the future. And of course, if you've been on that sailing, you'll know that the fast craft races from the Isle of Man to the mouth of the Mersey, and then saunters along about 5 knots up the Mersey. So you spend 40 minutes just cruising down the Mersey, waving to everybody in New Brighton. So what do you think about this? Do we need a fast craft? Should we have a fast craft? Or what about something, maybe a small version of Manxman? What about that? And how important do you think it is that we get crossings to Liverpool in the winter? Of course, if you're an Everton fan or a Liverpool fan, you'll probably think it's very important. Anyway, and did you listen yesterday? We were at Ballacamine High School. Lots of important points made, particularly about social media. That spiking story was very interesting. And politics. Interesting points made regarding politics and how little Manx politics is taught in our schools. Any thoughts? Then text, email, call and WhatsApp. Let's get to the phones first of all today. And Robert's first with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? Well, it seems to be the Julian lunch hour at the moment. Are you okay?
Well, you know, onward, ever onward. What's happening today?
Well, I want to talk about the Bishop in Tynwald, and I want to have my say.
Well, what a good job that you called Man in Line, because that's what we're here for.
Good. Well, I'm just listening, like, about religion in terms of, like, in Tynwald and what have you. I've had it up to here because I know preachers, lay preachers, who've so-called had the word of God in them and stuff like that and gone off for a tangent and, you know, being, like, manic about it and all the rest of it. And they don't teach the basics. You know, they don't teach the actual life skills and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't have any favour with any of the religious things.
Okay.
In terms of,
what's that got to do with the bishop in Tynwald itself,
well, I don't agree with religion. I'm just not religious. That's what I'm trying to say. That's my experience. In terms of Tynwald itself. I mean, you might as well be talking about God out of The Simpsons on a cloud. You know, it's a 2,000-year-old book. It was written 150 to 250 years after Jesus died in Rome or wherever it was in Italy. And it was, I'm not saying it's a fabrication because it's an important piece of text. But, you know, it's just archaic. It's just completely archaic.
And what do you say to the people who say that the position of the bishop in Tynwald is a Manx tradition? It's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's fair to say none of the bishops I've ever witnessed have ever espoused religion within Tynwald. They don't sit up on the pulpit and bash the Bible in Tynwald. They're there to represent the church in Tynwald.
But it's about Tynwald business, and I don't think the bishop has any right to read prayers and Tynwald and things like that.
Right. Well, the bill was, or the motion was, to withdraw the vote from the bishop. in Tymwald.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Okay, and if that happened, the diocese of Sodor and Man may disappear, in that instead of having a bishop within the community here, our bishop would be in York, and he'd be a peripatetic bishop. He'd come and go. He'd be on the Manxman all the time.
Let's just break down what you said for a second. You said we wouldn't have a bishop in the community. Yeah. Now, what actually is the community? The community at the moment is supposed to be a charitable Christian community, isn't it? I just don't see that whatsoever. I don't see the bishop turning up to any of the events. I don't see any of the people. Say, for example, Rob Callister at the moment. I don't want to get personal, but he was saying that, I won't talk about Rob Callister because he'll get me, but in terms of get at me, should I say, I shouldn't say that, but in terms of the person who responded to him, he said, why don't you represent us? The vast majority of people in Onchan don't go to church, so, you know, they don't represent us. They don't represent our community. There's no real charitable nature left in it. You know, you're talking about Bitcoin and selfishness and all the rest
maybe
of it.
Maybe it's just, Robert, maybe it's just that you don't mix in those circles. I mean, there are people who do believe the religious word of many faiths as well, different faiths.
Well, I do, actually, because I go to the cake and coffee evenings. I've also been on a Wednesday at the Christian Science Church just for the coffee and cake and have a bit of a chat.
Right.
So I do mix with them. So I am.
So if there were no religion, they wouldn't be there. So what would you do for coffee and cake if the churches weren't there?
Well, I don't go there anymore. I've actually joined the gym.
All right. Okay. All right.
This is the thing, you see. When Jesus says, take the body of Christ, he means work on your body. You know, work on your body, go to the gym, get fit, be healthy.
Interesting take, Robert. Good. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate your take on the withdrawing the bishop's vote from Tynwald. We'll have more on that later. But here's Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just with the steam packet and the inevitable replacement of the Mananan, the sea cat, the catamarans, and what we had, the monohulls, the sea cat or super sea cats 1, 2, and 3, they were introduced by Jim Sherwood, if you remember, when he purchased the steam packet company.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see the Irish Sea swallowed up by the use of fast craft. But the Irish Sea, and my uncle would have told you this because he sailed all his life worldwide, the Irish Sea is the most uncomfortable sea he ever sailed on. And the fast craft were just not suitable for it. As it's been proven, because she lies in a harbour, dry dock or otherwise, for most of the winter, which is not. If you had a car and you're stuck in a garage for 9 months of the year, what's the point in buying a car? But that that fast craft came from Australia, and she was, this is the Mananan, she was used by the American government as a test bed for fast craft for their their navy. And another company bought it, but didn't follow it through. But it was owned by Macquarie, who owned the steam packet afterwards, and they bought it for $30 million. But I don't know if anybody else can remember, when they were pursuing fast craft, they had a hovercraft here. It actually came up on the beach at Broadway. And I remember up at Douglas Head watching a hydrofoil coming, a Boeing, they were, hydrofoil coming up. And they were all basically said, no, it's just not suitable for the Irish Sea because it blows up that quick here. And the fast craft has proved exactly that. So a conventional ship, maybe a bit smaller, but a conventional ship sailing to and from any of the ports that we have, Dublin, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Liverpool, and Heysham, that would be suitable. But the fast craft, as it is a heavy expenditure on the steam packet because It's got to be maintained. The fuel cost in running at high speed is astronomic. And these fast craft are ideal for short haul out in places in the Mediterranean and such. They're going through the Greek islands and everything like that, but they're subsidized to the hilt. So if the steam packer don't want to buy it, go ahead and buy a conventional ship, a modern one. Well, it'll last 30 years because the steam, the Mananan's coming up to 30 years old now. But the likes of the fast crafts that Jim Sherwood envisages, they will never work suitably on the island, on the Irish Sea.
You see, I've heard this said about the Irish Sea, and all sorts of people have said the wave dynamic is different. It's basically a huge lake with an inlet at the top and an outlet at the bottom. So, I mean, what is the reason for this? Is it just because, as you say, it blows up quickly? What stops it being, the fast craft being one of the, you know, an ideal vessel for it?
Well, the fast craft are limited to the wave height. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it is small. And I've been on them when it has been what we term lumpy. And it's a totally different way of travelling on them because they corkscrew. If you're not feeling well on a fast craft, you aren't well. But one of the things that happened there when the government got involved and they said, right, we're going to buy it, steam packer can run it, but you must, and it was a thing, must provide a fast craft. Well, that tied the hands of the steam packer. And this is the government interfered in something they knew nothing about. And the steam packer then had to provide, or anybody that was putting in a tender, as it was then, to run the shipping for the Isle of Man, had to provide a fast craft. And there was very few companies out there because they'd all got rid of them. P&O, Enna, and everybody. They just weren't, there was no money in it for them.
Well, as you say, we got them. They're from actually Tasmania. The company called, I think it's Incat, built them in Tasmania. And they were used on the Tasmania to Sydney run, I think. They were used on there. And even then, they were thrown about quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Well, they do bounce. But the fast craft, Nicky Kegg, he devised many, many years ago a single hull ship, and it was a wave piercer. And he did it all here, and he built several out there at Union Mills just upside of the garage. This is Nick Kegg, the photographer. And I think, I'll stand corrected on this, his first one had a little Morris engine in it. And again, the Americans came over, saw this, and used it for their own. But that's the principle of the catamaran, a wave piercer, as opposed to going over it. But if the waves are a certain height, and this happens quite often in the Irish Sea, and can blow up any time, because what I'm led to believe is it's only a shallow channel in terms of sea, which means it can blow up and go down just as quick. So the likes of now, the Manxman's gone to Heysham, but very, very rarely ever heard of it not coming back. This is happening more and more often, losing sailors left, right and centre. And I looked on Vessel Finder the other day when she was supposed to be in Heysham. She was in the bay, Fleetwood Bay, and she was going round and round about 10 knots. And because it costs a fair sum of money to have them in Heysham, whereas the Sea Cat used to lie here in Douglas, and that was saving money. But she's not making money if she's lying dormant. Mm. As you say often enough, aeroplanes only make money when they're flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a Sea Cat is not making money if it's tied up against the harbour wall.
So you think we should have a smaller conventional vessel to go to?
Liverpool? Well, we got the Ben McCree, and again on that Vessel Finder, she's now on charter. I think it's to Sten or somebody like that down going Fishguard Rosslare, and it was lumpy here. The Manxman didn't sail, but the Sea the Ben McCree, she was sailing across from Fishguard to Rosslare. She was in. Sailing on behalf of the company she's chartered to. But our own ship, coming to an island, and a very important piece of shipping industry just didn't sail. But what they'll have to watch is the contract they've got with the government, that they're not going to be held to a fast craft.
Yeah.
Because, well, 2030, all the lot we got in there now will be, well, they'll be getting their P-45s in August.
Yeah, as you say. I mean, it's called the Sea Services Agreement, isn't it?
That's the one,
It's a contract between the company and the government setting out the services it's required to provide. And as you say, the fast craft to Liverpool is part of that.
Well, yes. It's not necessarily a fast craft. If that was the case, then the Manxman wouldn't be going. But a means to get to Liverpool is all that's needed. And, you know, we've sailed time and time, hundreds of times, into Liverpool with the ordinary ships. And they're sometimes like submarines going over. Yeah. They're on the water more than they were on top. But the government here decided in their wisdom, when they'd done that contract business, and they said they put it out to tender, there were very few, if any, of the larger companies who could have come in and run the steam packet facilities, just didn't have fast craft. So this was a way of the government retaining the steam packet and just having that caveat on it that you had to provide a fast craft. Well, they had the Snaefell here then at the time. And, you know, they're nice, they're good, but they're very expensive to run.
Yeah. Bring back the Lady of Man.
Well, yes. That'd be a bit hard for that now.
Yes.
But build a smaller version.
Okay.
The Manxman, 24,000 ton. She's carrying twice the people. So it gives you a chance, if you don't have a full load in the winter, you can say, I'll leave it there. We'll get them all on tomorrow. But again, this is happening more and more often, and people are having to find accommodation either around the Isham area or, as over the last week or two, in Liverpool.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, now 22 minutes past 12. What do you think about this? The journey to Liverpool may be over 3 hours rather than under 3 hours. Time was when those sea cats used to thunder across, and they weren't restricted in the Mersey that much then. Times change, don't they? Here's David with us now. Hi, David. We'll find David in... I think our lines may be playing up again. Let's try to... hello, David. No, David's disappeared. Let's get to Julian then. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Stena seem to be running all right. They use their E-Flexer boats. I just wonder if there's a derivative of that might be suitable to go between us and Liverpool and places. Makes you wonder.
Well, what do you think should happen then? What sort of vessel do you think we should have?
Something like... I mean, they obviously work well. You know, something of that ilk. If you have to do a smaller capacity, because I think the ones that are running between Belfast and Liverpool, they're roughly the same, similar capacity to the Manxman, although I think a bit less car capacity. But something like that, I think. You know, something that actually goes in this type of weather, because they seem to go in everything. Just before I talk about Jannara, yesterday's BBC headline: Millionaire GP behind asylum seeker hotels.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. And the address was North Quay in Douglas.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Faisal Masarani created a complex structure of companies and trusts registered in the Isle of Man, used to purchase freehold properties in the UK to be used for accommodating asylum seekers. And in Liverpool, 116 residents of one of his properties were told to leave because of urgent fire safety issues, unaware that 116 asylum seekers were lined up to replace them immediately using the services of Serco.
Mm.
I noticed the Schloss Roxburgh Holdings, is one of the companies, and Schloss Roxburgh Foundation was used to hide his identity, along with Optimus Hotel Management, which seems to have been channeling stuff. So it's kind of, didn't realise GPs made that kind of money, Andy.
There we are. Anyway, Janara.
Yeah. Yeah. Janara is operated by the messaging company PTY Limited in Brisbane, Australia, under a parent company called Atmail, based in Brisbane as well, same address. What I do notice is there appears to be no evidence that Janara or any of those affiliates or owners are registered under the Isle of Man Data Protection Register or the UK equivalent. So just wondering maybe if the Isle of Man Information Commissioner, Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya, could confirm either way if they are registered here, because they're handling all our data and it seems that it's leaking like a sieve, which I don't remember Manx.net having these problems before they took over. Reviews of Janara's parent company Atmail on Trustpilot gave it 1 out of 5, citing huge problems over the last few years with customer service, lack of security, hacked emails and high prices. It would appear that our Manx.net emails have been scooped up by Atmail's Director of International Acquisitions, Randall Cameron, under the direction of the CEO of Atmail in Brisbane, Dave Richards. So if there's no joy with Janara, perhaps people might try emailing a few of these, you know, the entities above them. For example, the messaging company's email is support@themessaging.co. You could also try Dave Richards, the CEO. His email address is daverichards@owmessaging.com. And if you want to ring him, you've got a few numbers here. Messaging company, if you want to ring Australia, if you, especially if you have a VoIP method of calling landlines cheaply, country code 61734973566. That's the messaging company. And then head office at Atmail in Brisbane, 61753576600. And you'll have to ring from 10 o'clock at night until 8 in the morning. So either you're a late bird or you'll have to get up early and ring, so I don't know, 6 in the morning to actually get hold of them, because, of course, they're 9 to 5 in Australia.
Well, we'll see what happens, because at the moment we have got some instances of stuff being hacked and rogue emails being sent. But the more this goes on, we'll find out what's what.
My instincts, and I don't want to be too accusatory here, I mean, they're charging £65 a head, aren't they, to keep your email?
Yeah.
Which, in a limited population like the Isle of Man, I wouldn't have thought would have yielded a huge amount of money for a big place like Atmail. But the data harvesting is worth quite a lot of money. So if the data's being harvested by somebody, somebody must be making an awful lot of money on this, because they will have a going rate to access right. this type of thing, whether whichever route that goes through, whether it be underhand yeah. or not.
Well, that's a very
interesting
point. I
would have thought the data
point.
Was worth part. Yeah. yeah.
And if
yeah.
the thing is, even if only, let's just say, out of 80,000 people, only 10,000 people or 10,000 emails are on the £65 a year, that's still £650,000. That's a lot of Australian dollars.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the icing on the cake would be to get all the money for the data as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
You're only getting the 65. Yeah. All right, thanks very much.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks, Julie. And we found David. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
This is nothing personal. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to have that checked by the Information Commissioner. Don't worry.
Okay.
Listen, I want to talk about the House of Keys yeah. on Tuesday.
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was sitting in the gallery there, and there was 3 or 4 other local authority members, mostly from Douglas and then me from Onchan. But I'm not representing Onchan commissioners before I get into trouble about that. I'm representing my own views as a local authority member and saying that if people want to check this out, it's definitely, if you go to the timald.org.iom audio file, you can pick up the House of Keys. You can actually hear what the former minister said. You still there?
Yep.
Oh, good. And she did say corruption within local authorities, which shocked the House and shocked many people that were sitting in the public gallery, including people that I knew, and then whispered to me later on, is that happening? And I said, no, I think she's off a trolley, to tell you the truth. Anyway, subsequently on that, so that happened, and Mr. Krukel now, and Tim Krukel, got the bill put in his name. So it's in safe hands as far as I'm concerned as a local authority member, and hopefully the rest of the local authorities, which will meet tonight in Onchan. The Municipal Association will meet, and our current chairman made a statement yesterday which was very factual, that we were all shocked at the statements that she made. Now, I did send you, I hope you've got it. I'm not a friend of the lady concerned, but I've got a copy of her statement that was made early morning there, 2 hours ago. It says, which I find disparaging, to tell you the truth, from an individual who is supposed to be a representative of our government, saying to us, I'll quote from it, Andy, if I can, I've been concerned throughout the passage of the local government bill that many local authority members hadn't even read or understood the bill. How does she work that out? We've spent months and months and with legal advice and things together running up and down the bill. And that's how we come to the conclusions on the clause find. And she goes on too, and if anybody's her friend can read this, is accusing local authorities of not abiding by the Nolan principles. And then the other one is, there are numerous examples over the years where local authorities have not handled their conflicts properly. Where is the evidence, former minister? You know, you can make these statements in the House of Keys, because people don't realise too, if you do it in the Keys or Timald, you can't get at them at all. You can't even take them to court. But if somebody makes that statement outside, which now she's done in an email there, we could say to her now, Michelle, where's the evidence? And what have you done with it? What, when you had the evidence in your hand, if you knew about these things, where did you put it? Did you send it to the Attorney General? Did you inform the Chief Minister or the Council Ministers? You know, don't say those statements against the people who live in the Isle of Man when you haven't got any evidence, I believe. And I'm sorry about going over people's today, but if you want to look at that, it's definitely on the timmel.org.im audio file, and about, it's not very much in actually, she says, corruptions, and I've quoted this here, corruptions within local authorities. That's an appalling statement to make from one of our parliamentarians. Okay. All right?
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, David.
See you.
Cheers. Now, it's 27 minutes before one. David was talking about the Nolan Principles, which is came out, I think, of Britain. It's the Committee on Standards in Public Life, the Nolan Principles for Behaviour in Public Life, basically. It's a code of conduct, seven principles of public life, which I think from memory, selflessness, integrity, objectivity, accountability, openness, honesty and leadership. I think they're the seven principles of public life. The committee promotes a code of conduct. We'll find out exactly how that is. I know, Michelle Haywood has been chatting to Phil Gorn, so there may be a programme coming up in the future where that's concerned. Peter's on with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's just about the bishop now.
Yeah.
One of the omissions in the whole of the discussion that's taken place has been to go back and find out why initially did they have a bishop in the legislature. I'm going back before the days of heritage, because there has to be a point, however far you go back, there's got to be a point when that decision was taken, so they wouldn't lean on heritage, which often has been lent on. That's very much a secondary issue.
Right.
And there's only one answer why initially they would have had the bishop there. They would have relied on Scripture. They would have relied on Romans 13, where it says, there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And they would have also leaned on verses from Proverbs, which says, it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. And the throne, of course, means, obviously, the government, princes decree justice, and so on. So what I'm saying is, the only grounds that can justify having the bishop there are a reminder that their powers, i.e. the legislature, do not come from the electorate as such. The electorate put them there. Their powers are God-given, and they are delegated powers, and they're delegated to be exercised in a particular way. And the point of having the bishop there is to remind them of that fact from time to time. Now, they've decided to, after a long and wasteful debate, they've come to a conclusion, as you know, that after 5 years, the bishop's vote will disappear. Now, we come down to some very practical... That's the initial reason, and that's really the only reason. It isn't heritage, because heritage has always had a beginning. The only reason why the bishop's there is because of the reality of what Scripture says. Now, you come down to this point. There's been a lot of nonsense talked, you know, about the bishop not being elected by the people. Well, actually, none of the Legislative Council, actually, to my knowledge, is elected by the people either. And we might remind ourselves that the bishop is the only person who doesn't get paid for being there. And I think that's a very important point as well. But the other point I would make, and I made this before, and I think it needs to be remembered because it hasn't come up in the discussions, and that is that there have been people saying, oh, well, suggesting almost like the bishop might hold up the play and the bishop's vote might be decisive and so on. Well, as I pointed out some weeks ago, one of the very interesting issues that came out of the Legislative Council's Select Committee was that when they looked at the voting figures, because, of course, at the moment, there are 9 members, so you're not going to get a split decision, really, unless somebody happens to be away. But they noted that out of, I think it was 32 out of 41 instances, that's about 75%, the bishop's vote had really sort of been one of the 5 of the 5-4. Now, if you took away the bishop historically, then there would have been a 4-4 and there would have been a split vote. Now, what happens then? If you get a split vote, by tradition, the president of Tynwald has to cast his vote on the status quo. Now, what that means is, translated into reality, if there's a measure that's being put through Tynwald when Keyes and Legco are sitting together, if there is a measure going through, the president of Tynwald, by tradition, has to vote against it, and so it falls. And yet, we find that on 75% of the time, the bishop's vote enabled a measure to go forward. We find that they also commented, I think the figures were since about 2015, on 6 out of 7 occasions when you've got a 5-4 in favour of what the Keys wanted, the bishop was one of the 5. Now, if you take it away, it would again have been 4-4. And so what would have happened is that by custom and practice, the president of Tynwald would have had to have cast his vote for the status quo, i.e. what the Keys wanted and whatever the legislation was, would get delayed. And that point, I think, is incredibly important because of some of the nonsense, and it was nonsense, that was talked throughout, which was uninformed nonsense, if only they'd looked at the reality. The final point I would say is I think those who sought to try and retain a bit of sanity need to be congratulated. I've already commented that I think they've wasted an inordinate amount of time on this. But do remember, there is a general election coming up, and we're very close to it now. I see no reason why a new House of Keys cannot just simply repeal the bill that it's going through at the moment, because it isn't set in stone. We don't have we don't have entrenched legislation. The next House of Keys can simply repeal this very foolish piece of legislation, which then will never come into practice because just restore the bishop's vote. And at the same time, I think, have a very informed debate about the Legislative Council itself, and remember that the bishop does not get paid, unlike everybody else. And so to single the bishop out as being the unelected one, you're really singling all the others out, because being selected by the Keys is not an election. that just really maintains a sort of situation that the keys happen to want.
Okay.
Anyway, those are my thoughts, and I hope it becomes an election issue.
All right, appreciate it, Peter. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Messages in. Mark WhatsApped in just to say, I think removing the vote from the bishop will be a mistake. Thank you, Mark. And has there been any update on the wind turbines at Eerie Stain? Says WhatsApp 361. Haven't heard anything yet, but as soon as we do. Regarding the boats, reliability for me, we might have to sacrifice car space for design, perhaps like the old boats. Regarding Janara, since Janara took over MT, or Manx.net it is, not MT, I think that's Jersey Telecom taking over MT, I'm getting battered with scam and junk emails. I've tried to contact Janara with no joy, says Colin. And a message in from WhatsApper 648, who tells me, I think the steam packet should consider selling the Manxman to another ferry company, where its design will be more suitable for coastal services, like up and down the Norwegian coast. It's probably worth twice as much as they paid for it, and then buy two boats that are more suitable for the Irish Sea and will fit into our ports and can operate in all tidal conditions. The boat doesn't need bedrooms with wardrobes and balconies for what is a 3 to 4 hour journey, says this correspondent. In my opinion, Rob Callister saying that he's signing off the Bishop's Bill for Royal Assent as he wants to scrutinise it even further in the next Parliament, he's convinced it's not been debated enough. That epitomises what's been wrong with the last tranche of MHKs, who have very little idea of common sense. This is Dick's word, by the way. We have so many areas of concern within the economy and healthcare, but rather than concentrating on getting more affordable houses through the planning committee, Rob is the chair of, which he's the chair of, more worried about taking up more time in Tynwald. Hopefully the people will decide in September. My opinion, of course. Thank you, Dick. The bishop's vote has taken up an inordinate amount of time. That, of course, we also had the 20 mile per hour and also the assisted dying bill, which still hasn't got royal assent. The Manx Maid Speed was 21 knot, built at Camel Lead, cost £1 million. The first vessel to cost £1 million, says Anthony. In my opinion, oh, God bless Peter, a man who speaks. Well, he does speak, thank you. 641, that is.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Manx Solar Electrical offer wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665-800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the best.
Ramsey, Douglas, Castletown and Peel, the Ferry Bridge and Laxey Wheel, Point of Air to the Sound of Man. Explore the island with Camperman. Whether it's an island staycation, a trip to the UK or a tour of Europe, do it in style with Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire. Fabulous accommodation, the open road and stunning views await you. Start planning your dream adventure. Call Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire now on 30 40 87 or find us on Facebook.
Stock arriving weekly at Ramsey Garden Centre. Discover potted spring bulbs, summer bulbs, seed potatoes, onion and garlic sets, wildflower seeds, sweet pea, microgreens, plantable biodegradable pots and propagation essentials. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by. And if you want to get in touch, by all means do. Call, text, email and WhatsApp. I got a message in from Dougie. Dougie in Ramsey said, could anybody tell me where the town clerk in Ramsey is? I've been trying to get in touch with Mr. Flint for a few weeks now, but all I get is out of office that says that he is not there. How do I get in touch with him? Well, I presume you contact the deputy town clerk there, but as yet, no, Dougie, we don't know. Presumably, there's a reason for that. If anybody knows, by all means, do get in touch, Dougie. Thanks for that. A note in from Anne, who just said, when's the government going to get rid of that horrible Ringo at the airport? Useless and annoying. It's a disgrace and they could easily just bought a new barrier, which worked for 25 years plus. When are they going to get rid of Ringo? Well, I think we'll file that under everything else that's at the airport. As in the security machines and what have you, and air traffic control, but there is a new infrastructure minister. Maybe Mr. Crookall will be looking at that. Do you ever pay there? I know people who just don't bother paying, and nothing ever happens. You can pay inside, can't you? Also a note in that just says, Andy, why is it only Douglas that has DAB radio? Ramsey and the rest of the Isle of Man should have DAB. It's dismissive of Ramsey and the rest of the Isle of Man, says. Well, at the moment, this DAB that Manx Radio has, I've been checking this, covers Ramsey. Covers Douglas, Onchan and Braddon, which I think is 40% of the Isle of Man. The word I'm getting is that we would love to cover the rest of the Isle of Man, DAB for Ramsey and Peel and the South. The decision is that of CURAS, the Communications and Utilities Regulatory. It was easier when it was the Communications Commission, CURA. Everybody loves an acronym. If you want, it's CURA who apparently are blocking this. I think we'd love to put DAB into Ramsey and everywhere else so you could receive crystal clear and what have you. You could also get Manx Radio's AM on DAB as well. And also we carry Energy FM. So Energy is on DAB. We offered the service to the other radio station, 3FM, but they declined. They didn't want to go on DAB. Even though they were offered a free place on our multiplex, our big transmitter. But that's the reason, Anne. We'd love to do DAB across the Isle of Man. It's just that we're not allowed to. Betty joins us now on Man in Line. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'd just like to reiterate what I've said before, that I think it was a mistake to do away with the bishop's vote. I think we should try to encourage as much Christianity on the island as possible.
What about people who don't believe in Christianity or church, Betty? What do you say to them?
Well, I'm an atheist.
Oh, you're one of them.
Yes, I'm an atheist, but I think Christian ethics are the best, and I think we... It's a good religion, and I think we should keep with it. And I worry about the future when other religions take over. And I think this is just the thin end of the wedge, and we should not have done it. And I agree with that suggestion that it should be taken up at the next election, and that people should... ask the prospective MHKs what they think about it.
Well, I think this came from, and again, they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this came from the Liberal Vannin Party. And obviously, Mr. Hooper's leader of the Liberal Vannin Party, so perhaps it's worth asking them.
Well, definitely, but I do think that is a brilliant suggestion, and it should be... encouraged. People should be encouraged to ask their MHKs what their feelings on this, and prospective ones, and if they disagree with the... I think most people are quite happy to have the bishop voting, and we weren't allowed a referendum on this.
Mm.
I think even people like me who are atheists feel this way.
Okay, so in your definition then, you can be an atheist and espouse Christian views, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right. Betty, we appreciate it. Thanks for being with us.
And I also agree that about the clause 5, you know, about the local authorities, they should be allowed to make their own decisions on this.
Okay. All right, Betty. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye, Andy.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Getting to your ideal weight can be a journey full of ups and downs, dead ends and diversions. But at Kingsley Mooty, we can keep your weight loss journey moving in the right direction with dedicated support throughout from our in-house clinical team and treatments tailored to your specific needs. Start your online consultation today at kingsleymooty.com or call 625040 to book an appointment with our trusted team. Rated 5 stars by over 100 patients. Kingsley Mooty, your health, our commitment.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Craig's Heartstrong Foundation will be providing free heart screenings at Nobles Hospital on the 25th and 26th of April. Places will be available to book on Friday the 20th of February at 4 p.m. To book, visit craigheartstrongfoundation.co.uk or visit the Craig Heartstrong Foundation socials.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Next month, the newly appointed Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, will present the final budget of this administration just weeks after taking on the role. And what's announced will affect every one of us. So that's why Manx Radio is giving you the opportunity to put your questions directly to him as part of our Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. Join us live on Friday, the 20th of February from 5 p.m. at Lukey's at the Best Western Palace Hotel for an open audience discussion with the Minister, which will also be broadcast live on Manx Radio. Tickets are free but limited, so be sure to reserve your place now by visiting manxradio.com. Manx Radio's Budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Patrick's with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Andy. Andy, I hate to bring this subject up again. It's been years since I heard this. Dog fouling in the Isle of Man. It's getting worse and worse, and nobody seems to be doing anything about it.
Whereabouts?
Well, it's all around by the heart, by the doctor's surgery, down Douglas, St. Catherine's Drive, you name it. I used to be in Williston, and that was all the way around up there. Onken, it was up there. You know, it's everywhere, really. But to me, have we got a dog warden, and does he need an electric bike to go around and just keep an eye on people? Does anybody ever get fined?
I've not heard of anybody being fined for allowing dog fouling. I mean, in all the parks in Douglas, well, they don't allow dogs in all the parks in Douglas, and I thought now everybody was carrying bags around with them, this thing had died away.
Yeah, it's everywhere. The danger is, in the wintertime, you go out, say, walking at 4 or 5 o'clock, you'd step in it. I've seen dog fouling out outside someone's house, and blow me, a man put a brick alongside it, and that got cleared up. And then there's another further along the road, a bit more. So nobody ever gets caught or fined. If they want to have a collection so they can buy a dog one, an electric bike so they can travel around and spot somebody and get somebody to
Well,
find.
The thing is, I'm sorry, if anybody's eating, I'm sorry to bring this up, but I mean, now the technology exists to trace the dog, because obviously you can get DNA, you can take a sample and get the DNA of the actual dog.
I said that to the wife, I told the wife, and she said, I don't think so. I said, no, they can... If you find someone £150, £200, you'll cut 50% off of it in weeks. Nobody wants to get fined, do they?
No, but yeah, I just it comes back to antisocial behaviour, though, doesn't it, Patrick? These are the people who simply think that the law or, you know, the customs and the practice simply don't apply to them. They don't care.
No. They give them a lovely, cuddly doll for Christmas, and the kids get fed up with it. And then all of a sudden, the owner of the house isn't responsible for the dog.
Well, the issue also, I mean, around particularly, I'm thinking of the back lanes in Peel and the back lanes in Douglas. That's often an issue there.
Yeah, it's on the main roads now, Andy. Honestly, you can walk anywhere along by Ballycommeen School. It's everywhere.
Okay, all right. Well, so you think we should employ a dog warden and start fining people?
Well, we'll have a whip round and buy them an electric bike so we can travel around and spot the dogs walking.
All right, thanks for being with us. All right, thanks for being with us. All right, this just takes me back. This is an absolute loop back. 30-odd years we've been talking about this subject. Don't come up very often, but it is antisocial behaviour. And as always, if the person is antisocial, well, it's not the dog's fault, of course. You know, dogs will do what dogs will do. But if the person is antisocial and doesn't care, doesn't think it applies to them, maybe dark, of course, it's dark in the morning, it's dark in the afternoon, perfect cover, what do you do? Do you find people? Technology will be there. Thank you. Graham, who just said, I would love to have DAB, digital audio broadcasting in Peel, because you turn off your transmitter at night. You've noticed, have you? AM 1368 is turned off overnight. We're very green, you see. Saving electricity. But the AM service does go out on DAB in Douglas, Onken and Braddon. So, yes, you will be able to get it. Oh, the mighty Thunderer at Foxdale is turned off. Anyway, as I say, it's not us. We'd like to do it. The communications people at the moment won't let us do that. More comment in on Janara about... emails. If you're getting problems with emails from Janara, if you never did before, that's the important thing. If you've never had problems before, but since Janara have taken over, you're getting problems, please let us know. We'll send them all to Brisbane in Australia. Thanks for being with us today. Man in Line returns tomorrow. It's Friday. And thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT